Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in chapter 5. We'll begin around old verse 16 this morning, but also you need to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Those are the two places we're going to be as we continue this great study. Now listen carefully. I know that you know that the first four chapters of Galatians are primarily doctrinal. In other words, teaching us, telling us how we are or who we are in Christ and what God has done for us. But when we get to the last two chapters, they're more applicational. In other words, right doctrine should always live for the believer, right living. Amen? Now that we're new creations in Christ, we're to do something. Look there with me as this great adventure that we're on with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 5 and let me read it to you. Paul starts off with a command and he says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom or the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage or the yoke of slavery." Paul tells the churches at Galatia, he tells us today, 2,000 years later, don't let anyone or anything ever make you a slave again. For if you are in Christ, you have been set free and you're purchased and you belong to Him. Amen? That's very important because we have that freedom. And listen, that is a glorious, incredible, wonderful command, verse 1. Why? Because it says, become what you are. What a glorious thing. Lord, you're so good to us. We're children of the free. We're not under the law of Moses or any of those things that the Galatians wanted to get under. Oh, loved one, listen, we have only one law, and that is the law of love, to love one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Galatians 5:14, remember, said this, that we fulfill the law in one word, just one word, not 613 commandments that we find in the Old Covenant. One word, that you just love one another. Love others as yourself. There's not a greater command than these, Jesus said. Amen? So as we traffic through here, I want you to remember something. Did you know that rules and regulations, anything on the external, cannot make you love someone? No, I'm talking about the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts. No, only the Holy Spirit can do that. So this great adventure that we're on now, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, living in the Holy Spirit, loved one, now listen to me. The adventure with the Holy Spirit begins the very moment we graduate from Bible college. No, that's when you really get messed up, okay? No, the adventure with the Holy Spirit begins when we are water baptized. We go down to the watery grave and we die and we come up and walk in a newness of life. No, loved one, not at all. Listen, the Holy Spirit, the adventure begins when we join the church. You can't join the church. You have to be born again into it, amen? The adventure begins this way, is when every believer who is a new creation in Christ says this, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. You can have your rightful place. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit. I want whatever He says to do, I want to do. I want to be led. I want to live in the Spirit. So what does Paul do in our text this morning? This morning, matter of fact, it was heaven announcing it. Yes. Yeah, we're going to talk about either being a slave or being in the Spirit, okay? Now, what Paul does is he sets up chapter 5 for us. He's going to use four verbs, okay? Four verbs that tell us how to walk, be led, to live in the Spirit of God. Now, with all that being said, we know it's to give Him his rightful place. But look at verse 16. Here's one of the verbs, walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, led by the Spirit. Verse 25, live in the Spirit. And also in verse 25, walk, or literally, keep in step with the Spirit. Now, listen. Each of these verbs, all four of them, you know what they suggest and speak of? An ongoing, continuing relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Now that's how the adventure of Christianity is. Man, when the Lord is leading you and guiding you, he puts you on the narrow road that leads to life. Amen? He doesn't take you down the way that leads to destruction, meaning hell. He takes you away from that. We, all of us, we are right now, if you are a believer, we are on a force march to heaven. We are running the race of faith. Amen? So with all that being said, let's look this morning, beginning in verse 16, talking about, are we a slave or in the Spirit? Here we go. It says, I say then, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a command, and that command, as all the other verbs do, suggests this. Suggest an ongoing intimacy, a koinonia, if you will, a fellowship, a partaking with the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem. How can any Christian be led by someone they do not know? Someone they do not even acknowledge? How can you be led by someone if you're a believer and you're not even aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? Listen, he is with you 24/7. You can't get away with anything. Do you understand me? He sees you. He knows you. You go to work, he sees what you do at work. You go out in the evening, he sees what you're doing. Nothing. You can't escape the Holy Spirit if you're born from above. And you know why? Because you are sealed with the Spirit until the very day of redemption. That means the day that you get a brand new body, the day that you get to heaven. Amen? Now, with all that being said, it tells us right there in this verse that there's absolutely no other way for a believer in Christ to live this life. It is only by the Holy Spirit. It is only by yielding to his way, giving him the rightful place. To walk in the Spirit means a way of life. It means that we go where the Spirit is going. The work of sanctification. Remember the first, when we come to Christ, that's called justification, that one-time act, where now God the Father declares us innocent. All of our sins are forgiven. So justification is different from sanctification because sanctification is an ongoing, continuing process. It's the adventure. It's where the Holy Spirit takes us from glory to glory to glory into the very image of Christ Jesus. It is an adventure to follow the Lord. You never know where the Holy Spirit's going to lead you, but it's always going to be God's will, never against God's will. Amen? So it's a glorious thing to know. But when you obey the command to walk in the Spirit, something happens. It says here you can experience the promise then. Look at it. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, the desires of that old slave in you. See, if a person is born again, you're a brand new creation, amen? But the slave is still there, you know what I mean? If you don't know Christ, if Jesus is not your Lord, well, there's only one person that you're from. You're in Adam. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all will be made alive, amen? So here, when we look at this command, you know, it says this incredible promise here that we shall not fulfill the cravings or the appetites of that old slave that lives in us, that the flesh, if you will. We're not talking about the skin on our body, but that old man, okay? That is an incredible promise. It means, God says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will have absolute victory that day, that moment, on whatever you're facing, whatever comes your way. But walking in the Spirit doesn't mean that you won't be attacked. It doesn't mean that you'll go have thoughts and you don't know where they come from. Are you following me? It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have these desires and you're going, that's not godly. Where do those desires come from? Well, they come from Satan, but let's get real. They come from that old person in you. Amen? And that's what we need to understand. So that promise, walk in the Spirit, that's the command, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the cravings of the flesh. That is the promise. But it's only realized only when you give the Holy Spirit his rightful place, where you just say, I want to be led by the Spirit today. I want to walk in the Spirit today. I don't want to fulfill the desires of my old man, the old Bill, if you will. Now, when you experience and realize that incredible promise, you need to expect something, struggle or conflict. Look at the next verse. For the flesh, now that's the slave in us, okay, that old corrupt, let me put it this way, the old Billy, not the new Billy, the old Billy. For the flesh or the slave, look what happens. Lust against the what? Is that a capital S? Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. So that slave, the old Billy, that's now, I reckon him dead, but I know that he's still there. He still wants to rule, but I have the Holy Spirit. I'm born again. I don't want him to rule. Amen? So the flesh, that slave, lust against the Spirit. That means to war against it. It opposes it. And the Spirit, look what he does. He opposes or he wars against the flesh, that slave in me. And look, listen carefully. And these are what? Contrary, look at it now, one to another. That means that there is an ongoing, continuous war between the Spirit and the slave in us, that old nature, if you will. And he says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, to whom does the pronoun you refer to here? We have to, no, not that one. It takes us back 2,000 years. Remember that we're talking about the churches of Galatia. And what did they do? They turned away, or they were turning away, from the unmerited, undeserved, unearned grace of the living God. And they were trying to revert. The false teachers were teaching them, you need to go back to the law. And so they were saying, you need to obey the Abrahamic covenant and so forth and be circumcised, you know. But the problem is, for the Galatians or anybody, there's no power in the flesh. You can do anything you want in the flesh. But you know what? It's never going to help you. Do you understand? It has to be the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever a believer, and there are many today, they attempt to please God or earn God's favor or gain merit from God. Oh, Lord, you know, I love you. Look what I just did for you, and I helped this poor person, or I fed the poor, or all these other things. That doesn't gain anything with God. Are you listening to me? You know, flesh can never gain anything with God. The moment that you try to establish that, saying, Lord, now that I've done this, you love me more, or all that nonsense, you just quenched the Spirit of the living God. See, Jesus told us, he said, without me, you can do, yeah, without nothing at all. Now, with all that being said, you need to remember this, that only believers are in a war. No one else. Only the believers. And the reason is because we have two natures. Every Christian is a battlefield, if you will. Every Christian is a war zone. And I don't know if you experience it. I experience it all the time. Loved one, listen, there's an ongoing, never-ending war to establish dominion. The flesh, meaning the old Billy, or the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on. There's a war that's going on. So the slave and the Spirit, they are never at peace with one another. There's a continuous, and this will, listen, never a truce. There's never, okay, let's sign a peace treaty. You know, but it doesn't work. Until the day that you die, there's going to be a war going on inside of you. You know, why do you think that you're driving, let's say 820, and somebody offends you? They tell you that you're number one or something like that. Do you understand? And that happens all the time today. I do you go, oh, bless you, man. I tell you what I want to do. The old Billy wants to say, listen, you punk, I want to tell you something. You 25-year-old, pull up your pants or whatever, I don't know. But do you understand that? That's not being led by the Spirit. You know, that's, when you're led by the Spirit, I'll turn the other cheek, Lord. I'm walking in the Spirit. I know he offended me. I know he shouldn't have said. I know he's a liar. I know I could punch him in my mind, but no. You see, there's a battle in there. Or you explode, and you go, oh, God, I exploded. Why? Well, it's because the old man loves to explode. The old man loves to say, you treated me wrong, and I'm going to get even with you. Do you understand? That's the old way, the old flesh. That is the dethroned nature. No, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen? Now, So there's an ongoing war. Now listen to me. If you call yourself a Christian, and if there is no battle, then there might not be any Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. You should really check yourself out. You see, because the Holy Spirit of God is God's only answer to the slave in me, meaning the flesh. You know, if you don't allow the Spirit to have his rightful place in your life, if I don't walk in the Spirit, you will never have victory in your life. Never. Because your flesh is all you can rely upon. And your flesh opposes God. The flesh is at war with the Spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah. Listen, the slave in you, you know something? The old Billy, the old Billy doesn't like the new Billy? No, he hates me. And well, I hate him. There's no love lost between us. You know why? Because the old slave in me, what I was before I was born again, well, he doesn't know how to live except under bondage or slavery. He doesn't want to give God his due or his glory. I want to live my own life and be selfish you understand, the old Billy. No. See, the old Billy, he doesn't know anything except slavery. If you say you're 25 years old, that's what I told the first service. I said, if you're 25 years old and say, now you come to Christ, today you're born from above. Well, listen, there's going to be a problem. And the problem is this. Yes, you're born from above. The Spirit of God is living in you now. But you know what? You've had 25 years of living under the slave. Do you see what I'm getting at? You've got to change. And the only way that you can change is, number one, you're renewing your mind to the things of God, meaning the Word of God. And then you're starting to learn to walk in the Spirit. If you don't let the Holy Spirit of God train you, then you know what's going to happen? The world, the flesh, and the devil, they'll train you. Does that make sense? Yeah, no, loved one. Sanctification is an ongoing process. In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, changing us again from adventure to adventure to adventure, glory to glory to glory. Now, but when that happens all through your life until the very moment you die, there's going to be a struggle. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Romans and look at chapter 7, but let's begin in verse 15. Romans 7, 15, and let's watch this now. Hold your place. I will return to Galatians. It says in Romans 7, 15, Paul the Apostle writes this. He says, for what I am doing, he says, I just don't understand. For what I want to do or what I will to do, that I don't practice. But what I hate, in other words, what the new creation, the born-again believer, hates, he says, but what I hate, that I do. Why? Because sometimes the old nature, the old Billy, the slave in me, he gets his way. Thank God we can run to Jesus. Amen? We can run to the blood of Jesus, confess our sins, and God will cleanse us from all sins. In other words, there's not anyone here, if you're born again, that hasn't said, I don't understand, just like Paul. Why? Where did that thought come from? Why? I mean, here I am in my prayer time. I'm having a great prayer time. And all of a sudden, what is that? Huh? Yes. It's either the devil or demons, the powers of darkness, or it's that old Billy. Do you understand? He doesn't want you to pray. Did you know that? The slave in you, listen, what did Jesus say? He says the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Now the flesh, man, the slave in me doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to study the Bible. The slave in me wants to do whatever I want to do. In other words, anything, I don't care. But that's not my nature now. I oppose him, he opposes me, he doesn't like me. I don't like him. So there, Paul says, I don't want to do that. Why did I do that? Why did I look at that? Why did I do this? Well, it wasn't the new nature that did it. It was the old nature that did it. Does that make sense? Now, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. And the law is good, loved one. But now, listen carefully, it is no longer it's no longer the new creation that does it, okay? Paul, remember what Paul said, is it in Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. We have the old man and the new man. Do you understand? Very important. And he says, oh, it's no longer I who do it. But look what he says. But sin that dwells in me. Sin. The wages of sin is death, but we're not talking about that. What we're talking about here, when it says sin dwells in me, that is my old dethroned slave, the old Billy. Do you understand? He is an exiled ruler now. He used to rule, but he doesn't rule anymore. However, he still survives. We're dragging around an old man. Why? Because our flesh was not redeemed, this body of sin that we live in. Does that make sense? Now, so he says, you know, here you have this unwelcome intruder, okay? He's there right in our being, that old man that we're dragging around. And Paul's not trying to avoid responsibility, say, well, it's just the old man. He's not doing that at all. He's saying, listen, he's teaching us there is a battle if you're a Christian. There's an ongoing conflict. There's an ongoing struggle, and you're going to face it. I'm going to face it until the day that we go home. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, the old nature, nothing good dwells. Have you come to believe that yet? There is nothing good about the flesh. You can't trust the flesh. You can't trust the old man. He will always get you in trouble. Amen? Yeah. He says, I know that in me, in my flesh, he says, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. In other words, Paul says, he's saying, I want to obey the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. I don't want to, the old man, I don't want anything to do with him. He says, but how? He says, for my will is present with me, but how to perform what is good? I do not find, for the good that I will to do, I don't do it, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but what is it? But it is sin that dwells in me. It's the old nature that's still wanting to come back alive and set up on the throne of your heart and kick Jesus off. That's what it's talking about. He says, oh, there's evil present with me, the one who wills to do good. So that ever-present slave, bad Billy, he goes with me to bed. He comes with me to the office. Sometimes I look and I say, why did you say that? You shouldn't have said that, bad Billy, and punch him. You know what I'm saying? No, listen. He says, now look what Paul says. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, meaning the new creation, the new nature. And he uses this word. He says, but I see another law. He's not talking about the law of Moses, loved one. Bear with me now. He says, I see another law in my members. He's not talking about the inner man, okay? He says, and look what it's doing. It's warring, an ongoing military assault, if you will, against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members or in my body, this old unredeemed tent that I'm living in. Now, so Paul says, man, I see another law. And he said, that law is never at rest. It's always, there's always a struggle and so forth. It wars against my mind. Christian, how many times has the devil or demons or darkness come? Just, you've heard it. You're not really saved. If you were really saved, you wouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have thought that. You understand? You're not going to make it. You know what? You are defeated. You're going to always be defeated. Matter of fact, your life is nothing but a bunch of sin. You don't even know Christ at all. What is that? That is that old man. That is the powers of darkness coming against you. You're going to be a slave to that addiction forever. Forever. He is a liar. Do you understand? The old man, the powers of darkness, they hate you. No, we renew our mind to the Word of God. So this, where he says another law, this other law that Paul's talking about has a name. It's called the law of sin. And that he's always trying to, the old person, the old flesh, he wants you to do wrong things because that's all he's ever known. He doesn't know how to live a righteous life. So listen carefully. Have you experienced this warfare? Have you experienced this struggle? Then good. That means you're a believer. If you haven't, you live any way you want to, satisfy any desire you have, then you don't know Jesus Christ. You are not born from again. Again, because Christians struggle. It doesn't mean they have to be defeated. Do you understand? It means that you discern between the slave and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. And you can, and he goes, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now listen carefully. That is not the cry of an unbeliever. Paul the Apostle said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Amen? He's a believer. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me? Who will deliver me? And here it is, this body of death that we're dragging around today, okay? So he says, wretched, that carries the idea not only a horrible struggle, but being exhausted in the struggle. That's what happens of this war that we're going on. You know, there's only one person that's going to ever deliver anyone. Look at verse 25. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I serve, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh," meaning the old man, "the law of sin." Now, if you stop right there, as many people do, you can be very depressed, okay? But chapter 7 and 8, they go right together. Look at 8 verse 1. He says, "There is now no condemnation, there's no judgment. You are declared innocent by God and will be forever declared innocent by God because you're in Christ Jesus," amen? "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in," born again, "in Christ Jesus our Lord." He says, "For who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That last part is not in the original, okay? It couldn't be because that would be a work, something you could do now. It goes in verse 4 where that really picks up. "But for the law of the Spirit of life," that's the Holy Spirit, that's walking in the Spirit, "the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus," that very life of Christ that we possess, it says, "has made me free from the law of sin and death." Did you see those words, law of sin, law of life, and so forth? We have a higher law because we're born from above that lives in us right this minute. The law of the Spirit of life. That's a supernatural life, loved one. Yes, the old law of sin, or the old man, old Billy, yes, he's with me. He hangs around all the time. It's present. Sin dwells there. Him, not me. I'm a new creation. But I have a new law. The Holy Spirit is working in me. All I have to do now is say, "I give you your rightful place. Yes, here, whatever you say, that's what I want to do." Remember when I taught through Romans, I don't know how many years ago it was, but when I talked about the new law and the old law, and I gave you an example about the new law, for example, where I have in my members a defect, okay? And it's in my eyes. You see, I wear glasses or I have contacts on right now. If I removed my contacts, I might barely make some of you out. It just depends on how close you get to me. You understand? And so what I'm saying is that in order for me to overcome the old law, I had to get a new law. So what did I do? I went to the doctor. He says, "Bill, you're blind, okay? And so I'm going to give you double strength contacts. So you're going to put those on." The moment I put them on, guess what happens? I have a new law that overcome the old law. I can see. Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about here. Now, let me ask you a question. Did the old law in my members, meaning my eyes, did they cease to exist? No. If I took these contacts right now, I'd probably fall off the stage or something. Do you understand? It's always there. But I overcome that old law in my eyes by putting on the new law. And I say, "Yeah, man, I can see very good." You see, loved one, listen, without my glasses, I can't see. And without you walking and living and being led by the Spirit of God, you are going through this world as a blind son of God or a blind daughter of God. Are you following me? You need the Holy Spirit of God every moment of your life. That's why Paul says, "For what the law could not do," meaning impossible to do, "that it was weak in the flesh, God did something about it. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh." But you know, Jesus never sinned. Why did he do it? On account of sin, Jesus came to die. He was an offering for sin. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look what Jesus did. He condemned sin in the flesh. That old man, that old slave, that body of death. Listen, the word condemned means this, that God, through Christ on the cross, executed sin. What condemned us, Jesus died for, so it would no longer condemn us. Amen? And that's what it means. And so that higher law that's in our life, listen, is now able to do the impossible. We can now live a holy life. We can be pleasing to God. We can be led by the Spirit. We can even walk in the Spirit. But that the righteous requirement of the law might be filled in us, not by us. Look at this. But how? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, meaning you give the Holy Spirit his rightful place. I'm going to tell you now, I want you to listen to me now. And I know I've said that 100 times. This morning I was having breakfast, and I had the TV on. There was a preacher on. He said, are you listening to me? And I went, I'm listening to you. I don't know why I said, are you listening? Yes. Okay. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more vital. There is nothing more needed in the life of the believer than being led or to walk in the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I mean, absolutely nothing. Listen, the church today, the 21st century church, we need to wake up, loved one. We need to wake up and give the Holy Spirit his rightful place and give the Holy Spirit his way. Why is it that so many Christians in the 21st century, and even the church, they live their entire lives without ever really knowing the Holy Spirit, without being aware? They never practice awareness. He is here right now. Amen. And not only that, they never live their lives independent or in dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you, I need the Holy Spirit. I need him to lead me and guide me. I need him to say yes to the right, yes to the left, or stop, wait, whatever. I need him. He illuminates every page of the Bible. He is our teacher. He's the divine helper of every believer and the church. Amen? Listen. The pulpit, and I'm going to say some hard things for a second. If that, you know, the pulpit, that's here, the pastor. They need to wake up the churches. This is not a place for entertainment. But it's nothing wrong with being entertained, but it's not an entertainment place. It's not a place to come and say, I just need a feel-good message, and then I'll walk out of here and feel good until Monday morning. You understand? It's not what it's about, loved one. It's not about, well, I'm coming here or any church, and by golly, it better have what I need or I'll go find something that does. Yeah, there's a lot of itching ears today. I want truth, for the truth will set you free. Amen? I want the Word of God, not the man, not man's word. I want the Word of God. But the pulpits in America, they need to wake up. You know, someone sent me last week, or we were talking, and they said, have you seen this website or whatever it was? It was called Preachers and Sneakers. It was called Preachers and Sneakers. I'd never heard of that in my entire life. And so what it is, it's this guy, I don't know why he does it. I don't really care. But anyway, it shows pictures of all the pastors, many, many pastors in America, and how they dress. And then it shows the price of how they're dressed. I mean, there was one that if I named him, you would know him, $3,500 Gucci bag. Now, I don't, if you have a $3,500 Gucci bag, I don't care. If I had one, I would beat myself. Do you understand? Well, Bill, it's just, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what the world has. One guy, no, many. Can you imagine wearing a 4,500 pair of tennis shoes as you preach? I mean, I'm going to be, let me show you what old Billy would do. Let me slap you. But I would never do that, but I might think that. You know, it's kind of like you want to throw a brick at your TV, but mine are all styrofoam. Are you with me? And listen, how about this one? It just happened. Let me read it to Fox News. It says, shoes that connect your soul with your soul. Here they are. These shoes are injected with water from the Jordan River. No, this is not a joke. Inside the shoes. Oh, and the water which can be seen in its transparent sole was added with a little color to enhance its visibility. The sneakers are called Jesus shoes. They also feature the verse from the book of Matthew 14:25, the passage describing Jesus walking on water. Now, it gets better. And a single blood drop to represent his blood. And other religious features include the insoles that are scented with frankincense, a crucifix threaded through the laces, and a red sole. They sold out in minutes. The cost, the price tag, $3,000. You know, I want you to listen to me, because we're living in the end times. Do you know there are three giving ups, I believe, in Romans 1? The first one has already happened. The second has already happened. And now the third has happened. And when God hands over the third, there's no more hope for the nation of those kind of people. That's where we're at right now. Most of the church doesn't have a clue that today we could be gone, this very moment. We could be raptured out. Loved one, do you understand? We are living in the last days. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to walk in the Spirit. Amen. We need to say, Holy Spirit, you lead me. Help me to pray, because the Bible says in Romans 8 that He does help you to pray. You need Him for everything that you do in the Christian life. You can't live the Christian life in the flesh, in your own strength. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not your might, not your strength. We're in trouble. I don't want to hear that, Bill. I want a happy Sunday. I've already depressed because the Longhorns lost. No. Listen, I asked someone, I said, why is it that I'm seeing this stuff with pastors all over America? The tennis shoes, but expensive ones. The $300 shirts, the $450 pants. I don't care if they wear them. It's none of my business. I'm just talking to you for a moment. And you know what this person told me? And I went, and it's like, you know, when somebody gives you a word and it just goes off. Here's what he said. He said, they're Pharisees. Oh, that's going to get me in trouble, because this is going to go on the air across many nations. Pharisees. He said, they're Pharisees. Why? They want to look spiritual, but they're not. In other words, what did the Pharisees want? They wanted the best. They wore the best what? Robes. They wanted the best seats in the house. And not only that, they wanted to be revered by men. In other words, they would take out, remember, their little silver trumpet out of the robes. They would stand on the street corner in the marketplace where all those people were, and they'd blow that little trumpet. Why? Because they were going to give alms. They were going to give alms to the poor. They wanted their honor from men and not from God. They wanted to be cool. In other words, the person said, you know, here's what he said. He said, their dress shows their spiritual insecurity. That's a good word. I don't need anything but the Holy Spirit up here. I could wear shorts. Do you understand? But that might drive you out. You saw my skinny legs. It would scare you. They didn't used to be skinny. But they say the legs are the first to go. No, listen. You know, I mean, I look today at what's happening in our culture. I'm not judging them. I love pastors, man. But you know what? Sometimes I don't know if they're in a boy band, or, you know what I'm saying? Are they a rock star? No, listen. We've got to get back to the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. It's not about looking cool. It's not being cool or any of those things. Loved one, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is not a doctrine. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an essence or a force or a language. Do you understand me? He's the third person of the Godhead. He grieves. We can grieve Him, make Him sad. We can vex His spirit. We can grieve Him. You can't grieve an emotion. You only grieve a person. to grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grieve in Ephesians 4:30, where I'm quoting from, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve is a love word. You can't grieve someone who doesn't love you. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit loves us. We must be led by Him. Ephesians 5:18 is a command. Be ye being filled with the Spirit of God. That's a command, not just one time, over and over and over again. Read the book of Acts. Peter was filled over and over, not just one time. Oh, how we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Man, listen, you must walk in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, listen to me, Christian, you'll never find your purpose. You will never, you'll miss your destiny. But more than that, you'll miss the adventure. There's not a greater thing than to walk with Jesus. There's not a greater life with all of the struggle and all the pain and the ups and downs, victories and losses, than to go down the narrow way that leads unto life. And few be there that find it. I look and I say, oh God. Jesus said in John 6:63, He says, the Spirit gives life, but the flesh profit us nothing. Everything in this life that's done by the flesh is going to perish, loved one. No, listen, there is no such thing as Christianity without the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know the Holy Spirit will never lead you where you don't need to go? He'll always lead you right where God wants you to be. What a great, wonderful guide, helper, strengthener. The Spirit of Truth, Jesus called him. Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to leave you orphans, he said to the disciples and to us as well. I will send you another helper. Another means in the Greek, another just like me. He's here. The Holy Spirit of God is here right now. Listen, I can't be in God's plan without him. I can't pray without him. I can't witness without him. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sorry, now it's starting to hit me like it did the first service, but the first service was horrible. I think I like you better. No. Now look back, and we're going to close this thing out, but I want you to look back at Galatians 5 and look at verse 16 one more time. Walk in the Spirit, the command, the promise. You'll not fulfill the gratify of the flesh. You won't do that. He says, for the flesh, that's a slave. That's a slave in me, the slave in you, the old man, old nature. Look at him. He opposes, he struggles, he wars against the Spirit. And the Spirit opposes and struggles and wars against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, a continuous, ongoing war. Now listen to me. Your old man, the slave in you, not only wars against you, it hates you. He hates you. Do you understand that? He hates you because he wants his own way. He's selfish. He doesn't know any other life than that. But there's someone else that hates you. It's the world. The world that we live in, this world system that is antichrist, opposed to God, doesn't want anything to do with God nor desire God. The Bible says this in John 15:18. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. What a privilege, amen? But he didn't choose you out of the world for privilege, loved one, but for a purpose. Therefore, the world hates you. The Bible says in 1 John, remember, in 2:15, do not love the world. It doesn't mean the trees, the rivers, and all that. It means the world that is against God, the world that hates Jesus. He said, because that kind of love, if you love the world, you're not of the Father. You're not born from above. Amen? He says, and the world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever, long after this crummy world that is going to perish is gone. Amen? So listen, the world hates you. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And Paul says, and be not conformed to this world system that hates God. The word conform means don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, to think like the world and act like the world. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want you to listen to me. The heart of the world that we live in right now, the very heart, loved one, of this world system that is anti-God. Listen, the united cry of this world, especially this nation, you know what it is? They're all in unity too. Be conformed. That's the word from the world. What does that mean? You accept my values? Okay, we'll get along just fine. I'll accept you. You tell me that my lifestyle is wrong or sinful, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. Listen, it just happened recently. President Bush, a believer, Ellen, I don't know what her last name is, DeGeneres, is that it? She's a radio, not radio, she's on TV. They sat together. I didn't know where they were sitting together. And because they're friends, man, the world, America, went crazy. Can you imagine her community, the gay community? Man, they went crazy. What are you doing sitting with him? Do you understand? Can you be conformed? We're conformed to our own. Don't you hang out with that man? Listen, and then even Bush had to give an explanation. Is that insanity? Jesus was a friend, or is a friend, to tax collectors, and Jesus didn't party with them. He didn't go get drunk with them, but he sure wanted to save them, didn't he? Can you imagine an entire nation saying, trying to tell you who you can sit with and who you can't because you just stepped away from what we're holding dear to our hearts? Are you with me? Loved one, we are in trouble. Listen, America that we live in today, and we're in the last days. And America that we live in today, it gives us the illusion that it's governed by Almighty God. But it is not governed by Almighty God, loved one. You know what we're doing? As you already know, we're legislating morality. But you can pass all the laws that you want to say sin is okay, but that doesn't make sin moral. Do you understand? But it's okay. I can go back and look at my sermons where I said, listen, this is what's coming. This is coming. We've got to pray. We've got to do this. Did we pray? Did the church really pray? Did the church even really care? Beto O'Rourke. Now, Bill, you're getting political. I sure am. You know what he just said? I watched it on CNN. He said this. He said he wants to strip churches and nonprofits of their tax-exempt status if they, any church, Calvary Chapel, let's say, if Calvary Chapel opposes same-sex marriage. Listen, all the people that are in sin, no matter what it is, if they're homosexual, I love people, but I don't love sin. I speak the truth in love. I'm for everyone. I want to see everybody saved. But he said, we're going to strip, if you oppose a same-sex marriage, if you won't allow that to happen in your church, here's what he's going to do. He promised. He said, you're going to lose your tax-exempt status if you oppose same-sex marriage. You know when he said that? You know what I said? Oh. Do you think the church, the true church, will fall apart because there's not a tax exemption, that we lose our 501(c)(3), whatever it is? No. I said, here's my exact words. Beto, God is bigger than you. Do you understand? Yes. We're not of this world. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We are forever triumphant. No matter what we face, martyrdom, death, whatever, we have won. We've overcome the world. Beto, punch him. Now that was Billy. You see what I mean? That old nature coming up. You know, the Bible says, woe to those who attempt to destroy God's standards in right and wrong, who call evil good and good evil. The flesh hates you. The slave hates you, loved one. The world, they hate you. One more. Who's the other person who hates you? the flesh, the world, and the devil. Jesus said, I've come in John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and life abundantly. But the thief, the devil, he comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, oh, the devil, he's like a lion looking around seeking whom he may devour. James says in James 4:7, submit unto God. Resist the devil. Resist is a military word. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. We're to put on all the armor of God. We're to take up the shield of faith. And it says that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Listen to me now. The devil is so smooth. He doesn't want anyone to be free. If you're here this morning, you listen to me, you don't know Christ, I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't want you to be free. He wants to see you completely destroyed. You know why? He appears, the Bible says, as an angel of light. He appears that way. Oh, this has got to be the right way. Look at this. He appears. What does he do? He makes light. Or no, he makes darkness look like right. You get yourself in trouble and you try to get out of that trouble. You know what the devil does? He'll send you someone to try to get you back in that trouble. That's exactly what he does. Becky and I were talking yesterday, and I'm right on time, so don't anybody worry. You know what I mean? In case you were. That's the old man, by the way. Let's let the Spirit have his way. All right? Yes. Now listen, Becky and I were talking, and she said this. Just look at the fruit of Satan's leadership. I said, oh my God. I said, the defeated father of all lies, the one who is the defeated prince of this world, the God, little g, the God of this age, the wicked one, the deceiver, the destroyer. You know what he does? It says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul says, if our gospel is veiled, or if our gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that his death, burial, resurrection, that he died for you, he loves you, wants you to be in heaven. He says, if it's hidden, it's only hidden to those who don't know Christ or those that are perishing, meaning they're going to perdition, they're going to hell. What a horrible word, hell. Matthew 25:41, Jesus said hell wasn't made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. God wants everyone saved. Amen? He says, and the reason they're perishing, whose minds, the god of this age, the minds of the devil, the wicked one, has blinded. Mental blindness. Who do not believe, lest if they did, listen to what would happen, lest the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, would shine on them. Satan blinds the mind of people that don't know, that are lost. They've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And you know what Satan does through lies and through deceptions? He prevents the greatest truth in the world, the good news from heaven. That if you ask Christ Jesus to be your Lord and believe it in your heart, you can be saved. He hides that from man. What a liar. What a deceiver. Why? He wants you to stay a slave forever and ever and ever. And then our last verse, and then you can go to Luby's, okay? Galatians 5:18, but if you are led, if, that word means if you are willingly led, if you want to live in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. If you want to walk in the Spirit, willingly led. You give the Holy Spirit its proper place. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not a slave. Romans 5:14, he says, as many as are, and I forgot. What is that word? Oh, led. As many that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. These are the daughters of God. Loved one, listen, the greatest danger today in the church is that wicked word called complacency. And you know what it does? It stops you, it stops believers from the adventure, from walking in the Spirit, from being used by Almighty God, to falling into the plan of God. Listen, are you a spirit? Are you in the Spirit? Or are you a slave? You need to ask yourself that question. See, Jesus said something. Jesus said in John's gospel, he said, you must be born again. Born again. Well, Bill, I've already been born once. That's right. If you don't know Christ, but you have to be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, you must be born again. Let me say something to you. If you have not been twice born, mean your natural birth and now born from above, receiving Jesus as your Lord, it would be exactly what Jesus told Judas. It would be better that you had never, ever been born. Think about that. Jesus said it would be better that you had never been born if you have not been twice born. Why? Because you will regret being born the natural birth for all eternity. For all eternity, separated from God. Separated forever. Hell has no exits. There's no appeals. There's no negotiation. There's no way out. That's horrible. I hate to even talk about it. But I would be amiss if I didn't. I would be a false teacher if I didn't. You see, there's only two places when we die. Heaven with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Or in darkness, outer darkness. It says a place where the worm dieth not, Jesus said. A place of eternal torment is what Jesus said. How would anybody want to stay a slave when they can have the Spirit? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this day. I thank you for this word, the living word of God. Not my words, Lord, but their words, your words. And as our heads are bowed and no one looking around and every believer in this place praying, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, what do I mean by that? If you have never confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord, saying, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. If you never said, come in and live in me, then you're not saved. So if you're here this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want him right now. I don't want to be a slave. I want to be set free. Then here's what I want you to do. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't even have to come down here. But as every eye is closed, everyone praying, just lift your hand up and say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved this morning. I want my sins forgiven. I don't want to be blinded by the wicked one. Is that you? Quickly. I'll not ask again. Quickly lift your hand where I can see it. Wherever you, yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. Lift it high. Put it right back down where I can see it. Yes, I see that. Thank you, Lord. Now, you that lifted your hands, you pray this prayer with me. Church, I want you to help me. Father, today, I no longer want to be a slave. I want to be set free. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and truly believe it, you would save me. I believe. Be my Lord, Jesus. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those brothers, now brothers and sisters, who've come into the kingdom. Wow, I heard chains drop. Father, slaves have been set free. Lord, now sons and daughters of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit forever, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, today, old things have passed away. All things have now become new for them. So we thank you, Lord, for setting a hedge of protection around them, keeping them from the wicked one who touches them not. Bless them now. And we bless you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say,